14. Let's go.
Wait, wait, wait. You're not hearing things. This is Stateside, not Drag Race. And I'm April Bear, unfortunately, not RuPaul. But today we're talking to someone you might recognize if you're a fan of the one and only wildly popular TV drag queen competition.
Orion Story. Let's see how grand your rapids are.
This is how RuPaul introduced the show's first Michigan queen, Orion Story. Orion is the drag persona of 25-year-old Chase Lambert from Spring Lake in West Michigan. How to describe her look? Lana Del Rey meets Tora Satana? Amy Winehouse crossed with Xena the Warrior Princess? Suffice to say, she's got the retro plus a little something extra.
I'm a huge Jim Henson fan, so I love, you know, like bright colors and like, you know, taking like vintage glam and adding like a campy fun twist to it.
Chase's drag performance work owes as much to contemporary art practice as to drag. The world of his imagination includes not just Orion's story, but also gravel-voiced tabloid reporters and intergalactic queens with, shall we say, atypical anatomy. She's a self-proclaimed premier fembot, as well as a Miss Michigan Drag Queen of the Year title holder, but she hasn't actually been doing drag for very long, compared with her counterparts on RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's kind of weird how it all fell into place, you know, like I learned to sew and I was like making my own clothes and like costumes and stuff. And I had like a weird obsession with buying wigs when I was little. I remember when I was like really young, like maybe like 2 or 3, 4, like running around with like a t-shirt on my head, pretending it was a wig. So I guess it was kind of always like in the cards for me, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a good start for me when I did start doing drag. Because I didn't really even originally really want to start doing drag. Like, I wanted to get into, like, music and, like, acting and stuff. And then I remember, like, I would watch Drag Race. I've been watching it for years, you know, and I'd watch it with my mom. And she'd always tell me, like, oh, I could see you doing something like that. You should do that. You should go on there. Like, I think you could win it, you know. And then my mom passed away a few years ago. And when I decided to start doing drag, it was kind of like a tribute to her a little bit, you know, because it was like a way for me to kind of feel close to her again, you know. So I started doing it. I've been doing it for like 3 years now, I think. But I mean, with COVID, I wasn't really doing a whole lot in 2020. So it's like I've only had like really 2 years of actual experience. So it's been like a really rapid growth. Like everything has happened so fast. Like I won Michigan Drag Queen of the Year within like a few months of doing drag, and like I've just been like touring all the time, and I think I, you know, got really lucky, and I'm definitely not slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about your early interests and sort of how this evolved for you out of, you know, different kinds of costuming and stuff, there are a whole bunch of folks these days who came up at a time when, you know, the clubs weren't, you know, maybe something that they had access to or even interest in. And I feel like the looks that they tend to evolve or have more of a post-drag feel to them. You see people, you know, sporting facial hair as they're in character.
Yeah.
With a whole lot of what, you know, people generally consider, you know, female identifying things. Would you say that's sort of where you came into this?
You know, it's funny. I never really, up until Drag Race, never really stopped and considered like what kind of a queen I am, or, you know, like what I was. Like, I didn't ever want to limit myself to anything. So I felt like if I put a label on it and said like, oh, I'm an alternative queen, or oh, I'm this, like I would limit myself. But, you know, I think, you know, the thing about like Drag Race is that you really learn a lot about yourself and you kind of figure out who you are, you know. And I, you know, before the show, didn't really have like a great idea of like who exactly I was as like a queen, you know? So it was just kind of like, you know, I've always appreciated every style of drag. You know, I think everyone is valid, and I think everyone, you know, I just appreciate anyone who can go out and do their own thing and, you know, be creative.
Yeah. For some people, it's really about, you know, the presentational aspects, like what they're doing in crafting their look. And for some people, it's much more about performance moments. Which one would you say is closer for you?
I kind of feel like they, for me, they coincide a little bit. I definitely really, I think, more so care about the art aspect of it, like, you know, the creation process and, like, you know, the end result. But then it's, you know, when you have the end result, where do you go next? And I think the next step really is like the performance aspect of it. You know, it's kind of like a, it's like a cycle kind of, you know, especially when you, you know, come up with like a look, like a full costume and everything, you know, cause I'm somebody who like conceptualizes like what song I want to do this in, or like what the story I want to tell, you know? And so I take it a little bit at a time. Like I start like making whatever it is, making something. And then from there, I kind of let it tell me what the story is.
I feel like there's a bit of a performance art streak that, you know, we could say that's a part of all drag, but I see bits of it in your, you know, in some of the elements that you pull in. I know that you also, one of your interests is making puppets.
Yeah, yeah, I love puppets. Actually, my license plate says Kermit.
What was it that drew you to the whole Henson aesthetic when you started thinking about making and just visual stuff that you were interested in?
Well, I, you know, growing up would always watch like The Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal and, like, you know, just like those weird obscure cult classic movies. Like I remember back when VHS tapes were a thing, just like I would play it and then rewind the tape and then play it again and just watch it over and over and over again. So that was like always kind of like something, you know, that I grew up with, and I just kind of always really felt acclimated to that. I kind of felt like, you know, when I started doing drag, I wanted to stay true to myself as much as I could, and I think, you know, pulling from those references were a huge part of my life, because it was a big part of my life for, you know, since I was little, you know?
Yeah. Boy, I just sitting here talking about it, I think West Michigan is ready for a Dark Crystal drag show.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. That's so sickening.
We're going to take a quick break. More in a minute with Orion Story, a.k.a. Chance Lambert, who's on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. Stay with us.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
What is the scene like for folks who've never been to shows in West Michigan?
It kind of depends on where you go, but I feel like, you know, Michigan is very pageant based. I think that's the roots really of drag in Michigan, but especially more lately, I've noticed that there's been a lot more diversity. You know, it's like you can go to a show and see all different types of drag, which I think is really amazing. And, you know, I've also noticed that, like, since me being on the show, a lot of people around here have really been stepping up their game. So, like, I'm all I'm going to say is, like, people cannot sleep on these Michigan girls.
This is such a funny time to be talking about it too. We have chatted with some folks who are involved in the scene, but obviously the pandemic has been a huge problem for a scene that really thrives on in-person stuff. Do you find yourself maybe dipping in on social media in ways that you might not have done in, you know, prior to 2020?
Oh, 1,000%. Like, even when I got on Drag Race, I had 700 followers, I think, like, which is not very much at all, considering. But I knew nothing about social media. Like, I had no clue how anything worked. I didn't even use Twitter, like, any of that. And, like, now I'm, like, starting to get into social media and, like, learn how it works. So, like, it's still pretty new to me, but I'm catching on. I'm catching on. I'm a fast learner.
Seriously, how did you even get asked to do the show without much of an online following?
Well, I think the thing with Drag Race is they don't really necessarily care about how big of a following you are. They really just want to see, you know, you. And I think that was something that, you know, they saw in myself. I made my audition tape all myself. Like, I wanted to make sure that it was like 100% true to myself, and I was just open and honest. And, you know, I think that's what they look for. I think the misconception about Drag Race is that it's like, oh, she's so talented, or oh, she's so has so many followers. But it's like, that's not what Drag Race is about. It's about like real people, you know, with
right.
real stories.
Is it different for you now? I mean, there are like 43,000 people following you on Instagram as of the time we're having this conversation. Has social media space become different for you with all the extra attention?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, like, just how much love that I've gotten on social media, you know, and like how engaged the fans are. Like, I've been getting so much fan art. That people have been drawing of me, and like my mushroom look that I wore on the first episode. Like, the fans have loved it. Like, they've been obsessed with it. And people have been like recreating my makeup looks from the show. And like, it's so crazy, because I'm like, you know, I'm still pinching myself, because I, you know, it still hasn't really entirely like settled in, you know, like it's still kind of like new, like it's just starting. So it's like, I don't really know how to process it, other than like, I'm just really excited, you know, because I feel like, you know, I've spent my entire life just wanting to show the world what I see in myself. You know, I want people to see what I see in myself. And it's amazing that I finally get to do that.
Do you mind saying a little bit about what was going on in your life when you were getting ready to do the show?
Yeah, it was probably like one of the worst times in my life ever. Not because of Drag Race, but I think it just with how everything fell. Like, you know, I was dealing with a lot. Like, I, you know, was really depressed, and, you know, dealing with like substance abuse. And like, I moved out of my apartment right as I was getting ready for the show. So I went to Drag Race like homeless. And like, my cat is really diabetic. So, you know, it was just a lot of things that, like, I think when I auditioned for the show, I was like, I need to make a change. Like, this needs to happen. It's now or never, you know?
Yeah.
I manifested it.
How would you say, I mean, we really don't want to spoil this for people who may still need to catch up on episodes, but how would you say your experience did help you through it, or did it? Was it a challenge?
You know, it was pretty rough. I think it wasn't really the show per se at all. Like, the show was honestly like therapy for me. Like, I'm not somebody who really likes to ask for help. So I was like, you know, if I want to get all my shit together, like, I'm going to do it the only way I know how, and that's through drag. So I, you know, went on Drag Race and I did it. And I really learned a lot about myself. You know, it's like you really kind of like, especially watching it back, it's like you really see yourself from a different perspective, you know, because it's like when you're on the show, you might feel one type of way, and then you watch it back and you're like, okay, you know, like watching back the judges' critiques, I was standing there like, you know, I don't agree with this, like but like watching it back, I was like, I see what they mean, you know.
I don't want to spoil it for folks who haven't seen the whole run of the season, and I don't, but there was this moment when you're lip syncing, you're jumping in, doing the splits in front of Lizzo against the leading Lizzo impersonator of Los Angeles.
The time has come. for you to lip sync for your life.
I mean, were there ever just moments during the show when you were like, this is happening?
Yeah, it's such a crazy feeling when you're standing there and Rue's like, the time has come for you to lip sync for your life. Like, because like the lights get dramatic and it's like, the music is loud. Like, it's, you really just go on autopilot. Like, you just do it. I wasn't thinking about like anyone else. I wasn't even like paying attention to June. Like, I was just doing it. And then after, I was like, all right, we did that. we did that. You know, it's like, you, when you're in the moment, you can't really process it. You just have to go.
It's so interesting that it feels that dramatic in the moment. I always assume that with show tapings that it's a little bit more of a set piece. But mm-hmm. I guess I'm kind of relieved to know that it really it holds an element of that drama when you're just in the moment too.
I definitely think it does, especially when you're like getting ready to lip sync, you know, because it's like, especially since it's the first episode and it's like nobody wants to go home first, you know? So like, it's like you're literally fighting for your life, basically.
Is there anything that's on your mind these days in terms of performance and things that you want to try, things that are still interesting to you and that you want to explore a little bit more?
Everything. No, like I said, I never really want to limit myself to anything, you know. I don't want to say like, oh, you know, I'm not a dancer, or oh, I'm not like, I'm not this, I'm not that. Like, the truth is, like, if you want to do it, if you want to learn, then you will, and you can, you know, you can do anything that you want. So I think, you know, I just, right now I'm kind of taking it one day at a time, but I eventually, you know, I want to learn how to do everything. I am somebody who like really thrives off of like knowledge and learning and growing and constantly pushing myself, you know. Like, I'm really competitive, but I'm like competitive with myself, you know. So like, I always want to push myself as hard as I can because I want to come out of it saying, you know, I did the best that I could.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Today's episode was produced by Aaron Allen. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, Claire Morishima, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.